It's a privilege to be with you again. Always a joy to worship with the congregation and, of course, to visit with our family here in Fresno. And an opportunity to share the word with you. Always glad to do that. So please turn with me first in two different scriptures. First in 2 Corinthians 10. I'd like to read the first five verses of that. And then we'll turn to Matthew after that, Matthew 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and I'll read the first five verses. The fifth verse, I'm going to stop there, because that's kind of the focus of our thoughts this morning about developing a Christian mind. Give attention now to God's Word, 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1. By the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I appeal to you. I, Paul, who am timid when face to face with you, but bold when away. I beg you that when I come, I may not have to be as bold as I expect to be towards some people who think that we live by the standards of this world. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. That particular idea in that last verse, after he contrasts thinking and living like the world, he says, we bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Now please turn over to Matthew, and we'll read from the 16th chapter, beginning at verse 13 through the end of that chapter. Matthew 16, and I'll begin reading at 13. Very familiar situation here. But we want to draw a particular thought from it that I think will be helpful this morning. Matthew 16:13. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist. Others say Elijah. And still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he warned his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Christ. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed, and on the third day be raised to life. Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me. You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." Then Jesus said to his disciples, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for me will find it. What good will it be for a man if he gains the whole world, yet forfeits his soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man is going to come in his Father's glory with his angels, and then he will reward each person according to what he has done. I tell you the truth, Some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in His kingdom. And God instruct us from this part of His word. And with special attention there to verse 23, where He says in the latter part of it, "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." We want to talk this morning a little bit about developing a Christian mind. In this incident with Peter, there's something that's terribly wrong. Terribly wrong. One minute, Peter is stating one of the greatest truths that you'll find anywhere in the Scripture, and that is that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Marvelous statement. And then in the next minute, he's being condemned as Satan is condemned for saying things that are directly opposite to the mind and will of God. One time praising God, one time against God. The problem is, Peter has not yet developed a Christian mind. We see it again when Jesus came on trial. As Jesus was anticipating this, Peter said, "Though everyone else forsakes you, yet will not I." And then out in the courtyard, when the little girl points at him and says, "You're one of his disciples," he said, "I don't even know that man." Something's wrong with Peter's mind. He is not consistently thinking the thoughts of Christ. And that really is what verse 23 says. Jesus nails down the problem here that Peter has not yet developed a consistently Christian thinking pattern. When he says in that 23rd verse, "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." And that's what we want to think about. The Scripture says, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." Have the right kind of mind, and the rest will come along. Our minds are so important. They're so powerful. Your mind controls really everything about your being. As a man thinks in his heart or in his mind, so is he. Our minds have an amazing capacity to store knowledge. Everything I've heard, everything that you ever have been exposed to is somehow still in your brain. It has been planted in there, and we have the capacity better than the most sophisticated computers to recall many of those things, and they influence all of these thoughts and ideas that have come into our heads, influence our thoughts, they influence our behavior, they influence our decisions. The mind is such a powerful thing. But it's not only the external influences that affect your mind. The Bible says whatever comes from the heart affects your mind. Matthew 15, just the chapter before this one, in verse 19 says, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts." These thoughts, evil thoughts, are coming, it says, from within you, from an evil nature that is lodged within you. And he goes on to say, murder and adultery and sexual immorality and theft and false testimony and slander. These are the things that make a man unclean. So he's saying the condition of your heart, not just external stuff that gets into your head, but what's in your heart comes out through your head and through the thoughts that are there and influence the man. And as we are able to see by God's grace, and as God gives us a new heart, and we're going to talk about that, a new mind, as we are able to see that grow, then our life will begin to change and be more pleasing to God and really useful to Him in His service. So to be clear about what we're discussing this morning, let's ask the question first, what is a Christian mind? What is a Christian mind? And let me take Jesus' words and just turn them into a positive statement in verse 23 and say a Christian mind is to have increasingly in mind the things of God and not the things of men. Simple definition, really. The things of God, not the things of men. It's to begin to think like God thinks. The Christian mind thinks like God thinks. It is to consider important the things that God considers important. It is to understand what is right as God sees what is right, and then to reject those things which are wrong. Is that the status of your mind? Is that the kind of mind that you see occurring within you now, as you have been given a new mind from God and Christ? Jesus explained to his disciples that he was going to have to go to Jerusalem and die, and then the third day be raised again. Well, this was God's plan from day one, wasn't it? This is the whole meaning and purpose of Jesus coming into this world to give atonement for our sins. But Peter, as he listens to Jesus say, "I'm going to die, I'm going to Jerusalem to die," he says, "Wait a minute, that's just not the way, that doesn't sound right to me. The way I have it figured out," well, Peter didn't use these words, but this is what he's thinking, "the way I have it figured out, the Messiah is going to come and he's going to overthrow our enemies and he's going to set up his throne and take over, and we're going to get to sit beside him in positions of power." And so he says to himself, "And I just said, didn't I? Out of my mouth came the words, Jesus is this Messiah, and he's now saying he's going to die instead of sit on a throne. I think I'd better have a little talk with Jesus and straighten him out." Now that's what Peter's thinking. And Jesus says to him, "Peter, you don't have in mind the things of God, but the things of men. You're still thinking like a earthly politician. You still have things figured out as an earthly mindset, and you're not as one who is an obedient disciple." He's thinking his own thoughts, not Christ's thoughts. And that shows that his mind is not yet developed. And Jesus rebukes him harshly. He rebukes him harshly because that was a terrible temptation to Jesus, wasn't it? Satan had always been trying to keep Jesus from going to the cross. From the very beginning, he doesn't want Jesus to die on the cross because that's what's going to bring redemption to mankind. And now out of Peter's mouth come these same words, "Never, Lord, this shall never happen to you. We don't want that to happen." That was a grave temptation, and Jesus therefore rebukes it sharply. The Christian mind is a mind then that is controlled and led by the Holy Spirit. A mind that can discern good from evil, and that now has the capacity to choose what is good, to actually decide for that which is good. It's a mind that evaluates everything from a Christian perspective. And when you start planting that into your life, that affects your vocation, that affects your location, that affects your recreation, that affects your associations, it affects everything about you. The Christian mind evaluates everything from God's perspective. When it hears ideas, and you're always being exposed to ideas that are coming across the board, the Christian mind immediately compares that idea that I'm now hearing from some source with the Word of God, with what Christ has taught, and evaluates it in that regard and accepts that, or rejects what is not in harmony with the Word and accepts what is. If we're exposed to television, the Christian mind immediately begins to say, "Is this acceptable? Is this proper? Is this agreeable to the will of God? Or should I reject it? Should I shut it out, shut it off, whatever it is?" The Christian mind makes that evaluation and takes action. Same with reading books or any other thing that you're exposed to. You must evaluate it according to the Word of God. We continually ask then, is it consistent with seeking first the kingdom of Christ and His righteousness? Is it consistent? Is it pleasing to Christ? Is this what Christ would want in my life? The Christian mind is always making those evaluations. And I think Paul says it well in that Corinthians passage when he says, our purpose is to bring all of my thoughts into conformity or captivity to Christ, so that he rules over me and his thoughts become my thoughts. The Christian mind is also a mind that has great courage. Courage to stand alone, if need be, when the pressures are on from the world that has a different mind. The world thinks differently than the Christian does. It's not swayed. The Christian is not swayed by political correctness. It says, I decide what is correct by the Word of God, not by what the community says is political correctness. Maybe I could give you an example of that. In Indiana, one of the federal judges in Indiana just made a ruling that the Christian pastors that come to pray for the legislature at the opening of the legislature, they're not allowed to say the name Jesus Christ. They're not allowed to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Can you imagine this? A Christian going to pray for the legislature and not able to mention the mediator. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's the man Christ Jesus. And now the federal judge says, not allowed to pray that way. Hindus can pray the way they want to pray. Islam and Muslims can pray the way they want it. But the Christian, not allowed to pray in the name of Jesus. Sorry about that. It's a different, the world thinks differently than the scriptures thinks. And the Christian mind says, I can't accept that. And I would have to, if they asked me to pray for the legislature, I would have to say, I either pray in the name of Christ or I don't pray. Because he's the only mediator. He's the only connection between God and me. I can't pray except praying through Jesus, because he said, whatever you ask the Father in my name, that I will do. It's a different way of thinking that we face in the world. So the Christian has a mind that has convictions that will not be swayed, will not be shaken by circumstances. And the Christian mind knows that it will often be in the minority. That is, there will be many people that will oppose your thinking. And you will feel like you're ostracized because you're thinking the way Christ thinks. Don't be surprised at that. Just stand firm. The Christian mind is consistent in its position to think as Christ thinks. We don't compromise. It's a mind that is the same in private as it is in public. That is, there is consistency of life. It's not that I'm putting on a show when other people are watching, but I'm different when I go back and I'm by myself or whatever. Consistency, faithfulness, no hypocrisy. This is the way the Christian mind thinks. Now, we'll never achieve a perfect record, but the Christian mind has this as its goal, this as its purpose, this as its driving force. I want to think as God thinks and evaluate as God evaluates and follow that path. And as we do that, and as we strive for that, it will be cultivated and nurtured and become progressively stronger. And you'll find it's easier to walk the straight line, the straight and narrow path that God lays out. Well, having considered what the mind is, what a Christian mind is, it's a mind that thinks, as verse 22 says, or 23 says, that has in mind the things of God and not the things of men. Simple definition. We shouldn't easily forget that, I think. Let's go ahead and ask, how can we get this Christian mind? Well, the simplest answer is that it's given to you when you become a Christian. It's a gift of God that is given to you. Say it another way, we receive our Christian mind when we become Christian. Now, it's not yet fully developed, as we see. I think Peter's wasn't fully developed as he's going back and forth, kind of wishy-washy. But it's there. It's a part of the new life. It's a part of the new experience we have in Christ. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. And part of that new creation is a new capacity to think correctly in the eyes of God. A new capacity to understand and know things from a spiritual perspective. This is just parallel to what we've been talking about in the Sabbath school class. Exactly. It's a gift from God that is given to us. When Peter declared that Jesus was in fact the Christ, the Son of the living God, what did Jesus say to him first? You're blessed, Peter, because human beings didn't reveal that to you. God revealed it to you. He was able to understand that Jesus was the Christ. Why? Because God gave him a new mind. It was a gift that he had given to Peter. The mind we receive from our parents and from our forefathers is what's called the natural mind. Not a spiritual mind, but a natural mind. And in Scripture it says the natural mind, and this verse also came up in our Sabbath school class, the natural mind, 1 Corinthians 2:14, that mind can't understand the things that come from the Spirit of God because they're foolishness to him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. You can't have a Christian mind unless you're a Christian. You have to have that gift from God. But the very next verse says that it says the spiritual man, the Christian, makes judgments about all things. What that's saying to me is, as a Christian, as God makes me a new person, changes my heart, and gives me a new nature, I have the capacity to think accurately. That is an amazing gift that you people have as Christian people. You can make accurate judgments about the situations in the world in which you live. Can't do that. Natural man sees some stuff as foolishness that's not foolish, but he can't understand it. But you have a Christian mind, and you have the capacity now to make judgments about all things from a Christian perspective. Now, when that new nature is injected into us, we just are given that gift of God. It's a radical change. The difference is described, for example, in Romans 8, verse 5 and following. Listen to this. Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds, notice the reference to your mind, have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to the law of God, nor can it do so. But the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. It's a new mind that God gives us. So the Christian mind comes from God, and it's given by the Holy Spirit, and it's a gift. When we are given also the gift of faith to trust in Jesus Christ alone. And this is another verse that was mentioned earlier. The eyes of our understanding are enlightened. What seemed mysterious to me before all of a sudden makes sense. I now can read the Word of God and understand it. It makes sense to me. How many people do you know that say, I've read the Bible, but I couldn't make head or tails of it? Why? They don't have a Christian mind. They haven't yet been given the gift of God until the Spirit of God does that great work in us. Paul describes it again to the Colossians in Colossians 1:21. He says, once you were alienated from God and were enemies in your minds, there it is again, because of your evil behavior. But now he has reconciled you by Christ's physical body through death to present you holy in his sight, without blemish and free from accusation. And then he says, and listen to how this the mind opens up here, the mystery that has been kept hidden for ages and generations is now disclosed to the saints. What a marvelous thing to be in on what God's doing in the world. God gives us an understanding of the mystery. It's now disclosed to the saints. To them, and I'm still quoting, to them God has chosen to make known the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christians can understand what God has done and is doing in this world. what this coming of Jesus 2,000 years ago is all about, and how it affects my heart, and how I can know God through that whole thing. I'm given a new mind. Have you ever wondered why Christians seem so strange before you became a Christian? Why Christians seem so strange, and how can they get so uptight about these spiritual things? They're just not all that important. And just, you know, you hear this and you say, that seems fanatical to me. Go to church twice on Sunday? Whoa, that's amazing. And all of these ideas, it just seems strange. Why? Because they don't have a new mind. They still are operating on the old mind. And they don't understand what these things are. It could be that some of you still are operating by your old mind. Maybe you haven't come. You haven't received this gift from God. What can you do about that? Say, I'd really like to have that. I'd like to have this Christian mind that God says He gives. Well, I think if you're disturbed about that and concerned about it, then I think you can come to God. He's already working in your heart if you're concerned about it. You can come to God and say, God, this is not making sense to me, but I'm asking You to give me, to open the eyes of my understanding, to give me a new heart and a new mind so that this makes sense. And if it doesn't come overnight, don't get discouraged. The psalmist said, I waited patiently, I waited long upon the Lord, yea, patiently drew near, and He at length inclined to me my pleading cry to hear. He took me from that fearful pit, from out the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, establishing my way, and He put a new song in my mouth. Where'd that new song come from? The new song comes out of a new mind. It wants to sing. Somebody was so normal, was just saying that we praise God. The Christian wants to praise God. There's a new song that comes into your heart when God gives you a new mind. And then once we receive it, we want it to develop. So that's my third thought. How can we develop and cultivate this new mind, this Christian mind? Peter doesn't seem to have gotten too far yet, not far enough. Anyway, I'll say that for him. He still thinks he knows better than Jesus, and he blurts out old nature thoughts. That's what he's doing. You're never going to the cross, Jesus. Never die. That's not going to happen to you, even though I don't think Peter heard rise again. But he heard die, and that was a hard thing for him. But his old nature is blurting out. And I think Peter, if he thought about it a little bit, thought, me counseling Jesus, the eternally begotten Son of God, that's not too smart. I think he'd have caught on if he thought about it. Peter has a habit of speaking first and thinking later. It's sort of his way. Before you criticize him too harshly, think how oftentimes you blurt out old nature thoughts. That is, your old nature just lets go. And you think, I shouldn't have said that, or that's dumb if I said that sort of thing. So don't let your old nature do the talking. I guess that's a pretty good word of counsel. Our new nature needs to be cultivated, needs to be educated. And Jesus is happy to educate us, change us. He does it through His Word. He's given us a written book that contains His Word for us. And we can learn from that book. Let me give you an example of how Jesus worked with His disciples to kind of change their thinking. The Christian mind has to be developed to where it begins to think the way Jesus thinks. Now this comes from Matthew 20. And the disciples were arguing over who gets the best seats when Jesus rises to His throne. And Jesus comes to them that day, and He knew what they were thinking, it says. And He says, in My program, we don't think that way. That's just not the way we think in the kingdom of God. And then He said this, and I'll quote it. You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. He's changing their thinking pattern now, okay? Instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. Whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many. It's a new way to think. He's teaching them how to think differently. Teaching them how to think as a Christian, as he would think. And we must learn to do that. Now, I think, as I said before, the most important factor in learning to think the way Jesus thinks is the Word of God. We really need to get into that Word of God. Saturate our minds with the Word of God, because it'll change your thinking pattern and develop your Christian mind. Peter, who in this instance that we're studying kind of failed, I think, to make good judgment, says later, and this is 2 Peter 1:4, God has given us His great and precious promises. That's the book, the Word. God has given us His great and precious promises so that through them we may participate in the divine nature. Become like Christ. It's through the book, through the great and precious promises, that I can begin to think like Jesus thinks and escape the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. Through God's Word, we can develop in our new natures, and our minds are filled with God's thoughts, and the influences and corruptions of the world begin to fade away. Paul speaks of it in Romans chapter 2 as the renewing of your mind. You're probably familiar with this verse. Do not be conformed any longer to this world, but be transformed. And how does that transformation come? By the renewing of your mind. That's what we're talking about this morning. By the renewing of your mind. And that comes as you meditate, as you sit at the feet of Jesus and learn of Him, as you mingle with Christian people who are able to counsel you, bring God's thoughts that they have learned to help you and strengthen you, and you can strengthen somebody else and help them. And we learn that all of that through Christian fellowship. And as we do that, our life becomes changed. Once your mind begins to think correct thoughts, your life is going to flow out of that and be changed. Listen to Paul as he lays the challenge before the Ephesians. He says, you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. He gets back to the mind a lot here, doesn't he? In the futility of their mind, their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding. They don't have a clue. That's how we'd say it today. They're darkened in their understanding. They're separated from the life of God because they're ignorant. Because they're ignorant of the spiritual realities of life. They don't have that. Having lost all sensitivity, they give themselves to sensuality, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity with a continual lust for more. You, however, now he's showing the contrast, you, however, did not come to know Christ that way. There's a whole new pattern of thinking here once you're a child of God. You were taught, and this I'm still quoting, Ephesians 4:17 and following, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off the old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, and to be made new in the attitude of your minds. How much scripture there is on this. It's beautiful. You're made new in the attitude of your mind, and you put on the new self, which is created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. We need and we want that new attitude of mind, one that's alert to God's will in every situation. We seek that. I hope you seek that. I hope you pray for that and use the means God has given us to find that developing within your life. As you do, your life becomes beautiful. It just becomes beautiful. Not only in the eyes of God, certainly does that, but also in the eyes of men. So as you enter upon this new week, you're going to face, probably tomorrow, a variety of situations where your mind is going to have to operate. It's going to have to react and respond to difficult, maybe some hard situations, maybe some temptation, maybe some decisions you're going to have to make tomorrow. This thing is very real. And the question is your mind going to be reacting as a Christian mind? Will you be better prepared than Peter was when Jesus told about his death, his coming death? so that you would react not as the old nature blurting out something that doesn't make sense, but rather that you react with your Christian mind. That's our goal. So ask God to give you and help you develop this Christian mind. And I'll leave you with this challenge: let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus.